too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Oh, Golf Lindy, 156. Third week in a row with elite music. I'm an alien. I was once. Englishman in New York by The Police, or Sting, is the most underrated song he has and my favorite. As I created a new content feature this week on Twitter, strategic top overlooked plays, or stop playing them. I think that is a stop song for The Police. Very overlooked, very underrated. I played it because, by the way, welcome to 156 on the Wiley Podcast Network. I am the Wiley Podcast Network. You want to be on this network? Hit the bricks. You think it's easy doing this? Go grab yourself a microphone. Go turn it on. See how many people listen. People like listening to you in real life? No? Hit the bricks. Just like that person at Home Depot I was talking about when I was there way too late asking for an obscure object that he just didn't want to deal with. Instead of navigating me to that object, which he knew exactly where it was, he's like, take the hallway down there. See those yellow doors? Just head right out there. Make a right to the parking lot. Get the fuck out of here. How about that? Oh, okay. Do you have any mini fridges? Much bigger fan of Lowe's. This week, it's the Sting. Don't lose focus. DLF. I play that song because on Twitter, there was a video of Sting, I believe at the Polar Music Awards a few years ago. And of course they had bands, and I don't like it when people do this with artists. They did it with Nirvana. They had other singers singing their songs as a tribute to Nirvana at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was not good, at least to me. So Sting was there in the front row while other musicians played his music. The last person you probably want to do that to is Sting. Epic artist, epic ego. And they were playing, was it Every Breath You Take? Or Message in a Bottle? One of those two. And it looked like the soul was coming out of his eyeballs. He's just wincing, almost wanting to cry. How could you do this to my song? Butchered it. Maybe he didn't butcher it. Maybe he liked it. It was just a great smash of clips. This week, let's go to our DraftKings read. Completely cold read for DraftKings. The long wait is finally over. Golf's first major of the year is this weekend. The golfers are headed to San Francisco to tee off and compete for the crown. There is no better way to join the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate golf's first major of the year, DraftKings, albeit the NBA is back, right? Do you need fans for anything? This NBA is a great product without fans. I've always said this. I said this a few times over the years, that the stadium experience for fans, I mean, no one really, it was not really enjoyable to go to an NFL game. Costly parking, drunk fans, blah, blah, blah. For some people it is, At least for me, it isn't. And I always wondered what the future of live sports would be because the home experience viewing was so much better. Cheaper, I can go to my bed after, didn't have to pay for parking. And now we're here. So you've got Dallas with this $1 trillion stadium in COVID, when even when there is going to be a vaccine, no one's going to want to be nuts to butts watching football. Everyone's just going to be looking. Have you been to a restaurant yet? Everyone's just looking at each other. The next person to sneeze, I'm calling the CIA, chief. Anyway, to celebrate golf's first major of the year, DraftKings is offering all new users a free shot at $1 million top prize. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday. I've done it before, and I have submitted a zero lineup, then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, unless it's Stableford, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Don't worry if you aren't able to get in a lineup by Thursday. DraftKings offers new contests for every round, like showdowns. And if golf isn't for you, DraftKings is offering basketball contests with over $1 million in prizes up for grabs every day. NHL too, man. This is not part of the read. I'll do this for free. NHL DFS is the best. One of the best. It's elite. Unless you play the Bruins. Unless you stack the Bruins in game one. Download the DraftKings app now and use code GOLFLANDIA. How does Pasternak have like one shot? Download the DraftKings app now and use code GOLFLANDIA during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Butchered that. That's code GOLFLANDIA, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Now, it's the PGA Championship this week at Harding Park. And I've done a lot of looking at this course. And by the way, last week, apologies for leading off the podcast talking about cuddle buddies and safe touching. It was just a unique thing. You can rent someone to cuddle with, and the highest ranked people you can rent to cuddle with are experts in safe touching. It was a very unusual thing that we read about one day. Anyway, I say that because one of the potential DraftKings winners last week said, "Thank God I dodged the bullet and didn't win and was on your show, because I would have invited my entire family to listen." This course this week, it's interesting. It is truly from a bird's eye view. It doesn't seem like something that is too complicated for the average PGA Tour player to overcome. No water to speak of. The greens aren't heavily guarded. Long, yes, and it'll play longer because of conditions, wind, temperature. The rough will be key. Narrow fairways and punishment for missing those fairways, and then the speed of the greens, which aren't overly small. I think they're in the 7,000 square foot range. So it will be interesting. But overall, it reminds me of, and this California narrative in my head, but Torrey Pines-ish, Riviera-ish, Finau-ish, Adam Scott-ish, DJ, Bubba. I mean, it's long. I mean, it could go to, 7,400 yards, par 70. That's pretty long. And if that rough is as gnarly as it appears it's going to be on fairways that are 20 to 29 yards wide, I mean, the tree canopy here is crazy. These cypress trees are gigantic. And some of these shoots, I mean, I think it was on number 5, the 436-yard par 4. Wow. Like a barrel of a gun. So, it's a lot of mistake avoidance in in PGA championships and majors in general. Not a lot of scoring out there. Two par fives. Long par threes. There's a 251-yard par three into a prevailing wind. That's a three-wood, mate. So it'll be interesting. Pricing is pretty good on DraftKings, too. I mean, all in all, very reasonable. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the broadcast. I think that, I'm not sure who's doing the broadcast this weekend, but I think they finally got a crew. That's always been the complaint, right? People talk too much during the broadcast. Like the European broadcast, they just let the game come to the screen. They don't have to say much. They interject with a quip or an interesting anecdote. But for most part, you're listening to the ambient noises, bird sounds, and then just the quietness of the play. That's all you need. But Faldo is really carrying these broadcasts, and I like his interjections. A lot of people got on me because I said I didn't like Faldo. I like Faldo a lot. I learned more about golf and my swing from Faldo than, I mean, that's what? Can you imagine getting tips from him? That's $500 a minute. What would that cost? Look at during COVID. I was talking to Greg Laz Inc. about this, who's played Harding Park, by the way, and has some insights that I'm going to share with you, with Ryan. But Luke Donald giving bunker play tips during COVID, or Patrick Harrington giving swing speed tips. I mean, when are you going to get that for free? You pay thousands of dollars on those master classes for that. It's crazy. So I mean, yes, Faldo sometimes has to repeat jokes when the broadcasts switch over, which I just find funny. But overall, I'm a huge Dottie Pepper fan too. She always has something very clever to say, and understands the game of golf very well. But it's basically him and Dottie, you know, throwing back to each other, and I like it. Nablo, the very mysterious Immelman brothers, whether it's Mark or Trevor, I can never tell. I wasn't a big Gary McCord guy. I'm not huge on Faraday. I don't need that sort of funny interjections. Like Jokey McJokester. Am I Gary McCord? And then Jim Nance. You know, he just sort of the steady hand that carries the broadcast through. And I can hardly wait for the Nance, what is it, an idiom or a pun or a turn of phrase when he announces the winner of the PGA Championship? I know he has them prepared for every golfer. Like old Mother Hubbard, what did Mark find in the cupboard? A trophy. Finally, he raises the trophy. Tony does. That's weak. Can you believe it? Sun King. Cameron Champ is one. I like Nance. I'm going to talk to Ryan for about 42 minutes on this course this week. And what we think, what we like. Like we're sharps and you need my input. It's just white noise while you sleep. I get that. But the other thing I'm talking about on Twitter, speaking of the broadcast, is I've heard the ad, and I know this is going to resonate with you. I have heard the ad for Grupo de Salinas. Grupo Salinas. Just in the background, it's like white noise. You know that when Jim Nance says it, brought to you by Grupo Salinas. And none of us have any clue as to what it is. I have listened to that ad, 4,500 times? No clue. No clue. So, someone said that, I forget, someone said they were invited to a party by Grupo de Salinas in Mexico. Someone in the media told me this, and that was going to be a 5-star event, if you know what I mean. But Grupo de Salinas, what is their quote? Shared prosperity through an inclusive business model. What? Joint mission making in the pursuit of excellence towards the goal of competitive strategy and execution. Grupo de Salinas. A few questions. Do I want to take a few questions? How many times, this is from Matt Coxey, how many times will they say Marine Layer on the broadcast? A lot. You'll see the Golden Gate Bridge and Marine Layer a lot, Matt Coxey. Very well done. My stop plays. Yes, stop plays. Strategic, top, overlooked plays. I like Steele, Charles Schwartzel, perhaps Ryan Palmer as my stop plays. Finau, stop playing that guy. Adam Long. Multiple people have said Adam Long. Father Johnson, 30, AAL, always play Adam Long. Phil Effrink, I stop and start with Adam Long. Yes, I agree. Connor Stewie, Beef Stew 93, Michael Thompson. I don't know, Stewie. I don't know, but that is a stop play. Juna, Bagger V mode. If Gary Woodland had a push mower, how long would it take him to mow a standard suburban lawn? What? I don't know, but that's funny. I guess that's it. I'll save some of these for the Wednesday Periscope. Yes, we have a Lister League. Yes, Brian DeSaulnier. DeSaulnier. BHWDDFS. We have a Lister League every week. It's 300 people. It's in my text messages from Ethan Shibatani at DraftKings. I have not released it yet because I am slow at life. But I will. Let us talk with Ryan Baraff at this point. Cash rules
everything around me. Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all.
Ryan, you're fired up. Why?
We got a seat at the table and the Mega Millionaire Maker. You know, I play those minus EV qualifiers every week, and we happened to hit one last week, so let's ride.
You say we. I won't mention who the we is.
You and Saul.
Yeah. You better share a percentage with us.
Port Rush. Yeah, no, of course. We yes, when things are back to normal and we can all get together, we will, yeah, we'll do something.
Have you – so I looked at this course. Before I start with that, you're taking a beating in our text group.
Shocker.
And you were fired up because of it. What was it? Because of you believe that Justin Thomas is definitively going to win?
I do. I've said that for weeks, and he only just got his first win. It was a whole 24 hours ago. But, yeah, I mean, look, anyone who doesn't pick JT this week, there are plenty of good golfers. But if you don't pick JT this week, you're just trying to be difficult. I will say that.
Yeah. He said this morning that he knows nothing about the course and he better learn how to hit a draw. There are 7+ yeah. Dog leg lefts.
Yeah. I mean, look, he'll figure it out. I'm sure. Like when I think of that sort of ball flight, I think of Augusta and he's been fine there. So he hasn't won obviously, but you know, he can play well there. I think the thing about JT, which goes very overlooked, is he's good at everything. Drives it well. He's an elite iron player. His wedges, you compare him to Rory or Brooks or DJ or Rom, his wedges are so much better. And he didn't even putt well last week. He hasn't putted well in a month. He's still playing this well. Yeah, JT by 5.
So this course, I looked at it a bunch over the last week. And then they PGA of America put up a nice flyover, which I went through. And then I talked to Greg Les Inc., who DM'd me just now and said, can I be on the show? Huh?
Yeah, we do love Greg.
He said, can I be on the show because I played the course? I said, you can give me your notes on the course, and then I will credit them to you and Greg Les Inc. So I will do that here shortly, but I'll go to Mike. Well, yeah, I'll go to Mike's first to give the overall details of TPC Harding Park in lovely San Francisco, California, USA. 20-minute drive to the Fog Harbor Fish House. See, he says these things because he's been there, right? So I said, why don't you? I said, it's really something that is a little benign. So why don't you do something interesting for people who may be visiting? So go to the Fog Harbor Fish House at Fisherman's Wharf. 1925 Willie Watson and Sam Whiting design. Muni course. Restored 2004 after spending 1998 as a car park. it's a parklands course. Shocker. How are people going to adjust? Tree-lined parklands, Ryan. Par 70, 7,200 yards. Although, it's 7,200 yards, but I think it potentially they could stretch it to 74. Two par fives, rough, a lot of cypress trees, trillions of them. They're very big and tall. Greenside bunkering. There's no water hazards to speak of. Not a lot of bunkers. Really, the punishment here is rough, right? As it is in every PGA championship. Narrow fairways, 20 yards plus-ish, 20 to 29 yards, which is narrow for the tour. Deep rough. And what are they going to run the greens at, Ryan, do you think? Bent grass, relatively large.
Yeah, I mean, got to be 13, maybe 13 and a half. So. Yeah.
And then the wind potentially out there.
It's cool, obviously. These are the pure bent grass greens, but I mean, you still got to keep in mind, you're in California, so you're going to get some poa that creeps into it. So you talk, later in the day and I think you're going to get some bumps, so it's not going to be, the pure kind of Midwest bent that maybe we've seen the last few weeks.
Well, Greg's point, I'll credit with him with this. He says it's fairly long, and don't forget it's a par 70. I know that part, Greg. But it plays 5 to 10% longer with the temperature and air, especially in the morning. And so 175 yards to 200 yards are 190 in San Francisco, for instance, is like playing 220 in Memphis. So it's long. And, I went through every hole in this flyover. It is narrow. Some of these shoots off the tee are extremely narrow, and you can get really cypressed. And really roughed up if you don't hit a fairway. But there are the two par fives are fairly straightforward. Did you notice that? Especially number 10. If you've got to score that par five. 562 yards. The one in the front is relatively long, 607. The rest are tough, long par fours. A lot of dog legs. Most of them dog leg lefts. Deep rough, speedy greens, and a true test of American golf. A par three, number 8 of 251. That's what was Gary Woodland hitting it into a prevailing wind today? I think he's hitting 3 wood.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Look, that's why I don't get bogged down into pars, right? Because are you going to count that in par three scoring? No, it's a drivable par four is what it is. It's cold, it's windy. That hole could be playing 275 if it's back into the wind. So that's not really a par three. And I don't want to look at par three scoring when I think about that. You mentioned the course length. I think, yes, I think they're going to stretch it as the week goes on. Close to 7,400 yards. It is cool. It is windy. I think it's going to play more like 76 or 7,700 yards. Maybe I think back to other PGAs at these long golf courses. You think about Bethpage. You think about Quail Hollow. I think you're going to see something like that.
And when there was the Cadillac match play when Rory won?
Yes.
Second was Gary Woodland. Greg Les Inc. also in his wisdom mentioned the 2013 Charles Schwab Cup for seniors. Fred Couples won. Obviously, we know Fred Couples is number one in driving distance, one of the biggest bombers ever for his era. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see, as much as I love Brendan Todd, guys like that having a ton of success here on the back nine, a number 12 on a 500-yard par four, which is probably playing 550, or number nine, 515, just straight, brutal, long holes with the rough. If you don't land in the fairway, it's going to be – this is a lot about avoiding problems and scoring when there's not a lot of holes to score out there on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year, Beth Page, what was the winning score? -8 Brooks, -5 second to DJ. I mean, in majors, they're just not going to create a course that goes 20 under, not like we're used to typically week to week, like a 3M Open.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you weighing in terms of your quote model unquote?
Yeah. You know, as the week goes on, you know, I'm definitely going to pay attention to the weather. It does sound like this is going to be a very, very driver heavy golf course.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of as the week started, you know, there were some guys who looked pretty good that maybe aren't the longest. You think about a guy like Ches Reavy, who has been really good of late, was great last week, plays well in California. But if this course is going to be that long, like, I'm not playing Ches Reavy. So I'm definitely going to watch that. I'm going to be, I think, as I always say, I'm going to keep riding the guys who I've been on. I mean, we've been playing.
You're going to ride Ben on?
I've been on.
We don't Ben play. On. Yes, I thought you said I'm going to ride Ben on.
No, I've never played Ben on. No, but like.
Is it, by the way, is it extremely difficult? As good as the, I mean, everyone on this tour, fact, is better than everyone else on the planet Earth.
Yes. But
comparatively to each other, which is when we say someone's not a great putter, compared to the tour. Is it so difficult, Finau on Fowler? Fowler. I mean, it could have been his yesterday. It's so tilting to back those guys. On. You didn't see on. He was in the last group. You saw him on the driving range, and that was it.
Yeah, it was the walk of shame for Todd and on. I don't think Todd made a birdie yesterday, did he?
I don't think so.
He did the same thing at Travelers, whatever it was, on that Sunday. But yeah, no, I mean, I've been playing the same guys every week. I've played JT and Brooks every week since the restart, and it finally came to fruition last week when I played basically all the JT and Brooks, as did everybody, of course. But I think, why are you going to hop off of that? So I'm going to ride the form a lot. In terms of the actual, like, the guys at the top, because I think that's where you have to make your decision. You know, are you paying 11.3K for Brooks or 11.6, whatever it is, for Justin Thomas? I mean, it's going to limit what you're able to do because the pricing is a little bit tighter this week. But my move with these majors is, you know, pick the guy who you want to win. In this case, for me, it's probably going to be JT. And then you figure out the rest from there. Because even if pricing is tighter, it's a major. There are viable guys in the 7K range.
This, I don't like to do course comps because it all comes down to, I mean, the courses on the PGA Tour week to week are relatively similar, and it all comes down to how you're playing going into the major and how well your nerves are at the major.
Mm-hmm.
But this does remind me a little bit, and it's the California vibe of Riviera,
sure.
The length, it's narrow. And then you look at sort of the rough statistics and guys who play well to the rough and, you know, who play well at Riviera, Thomas Peters, who's not playing here, sadly.
He's not playing anywhere.
Kevin Chappell, he's not playing. Finau, DJ, Bubba Watson. I'm a big fan of Brooks this week, clearly.
Sure.
I think, you know, and I think that DJ's back issue was a non-thing. He was in contention for at least a few seconds on Sunday. For me, it's going to be who's going to use driver a lot, who's hitting it well, who's capable off the tee and finding fairways, and who has the mindset for a major, even though there are no fans. It doesn't, I mean, the major, this is such an important event in terms of your status for life on the PGA Tour. There are people who are capable of handling that, and there are people who probably aren't. I think it's a DJ Brooks week. But I will go through this model that I created.
All right.
Which heavily weighted good driving, tee to green, off the tee, approach, scrambling. I mean, you aren't going to make every green and reg. You are going to have to be creative around these greens. There's a lot of runoffs. There's a lot of rough. The top 10 out of this model, using those highly, highly vetted algorithms, is quite sad.
Sad for who?
Both of us. Dan Berger's number one.
Not surprising. It's been great.
He's been great. But his price, I mean, $8,800 Dan Berger. I mean, if it was $7,500 Dan Berger, I would love to see that. It just makes it complicated.
Here's the other quick note about Berger, right? And I mean, yes, he is playing better than he ever has. However, he is a guy we play on specific golf courses, short, flat, and Bermuda. I mean, Memphis kind of fits there. It's his favorite course in the world. Schwab fits. Heritage fits, right? They are all short Bermuda coastal courses. You put him at a Jack's Place, he missed the cut. You bring him out here to a big course in California. Like, I don't have that same trust in him that I have in everybody else in that range.
Right. Which is why I think I need to revise the model before I post it to add driving distance.
Yes.
Webb, Hatton, Thomas, Hovland, DeChambeau, Schauffele, Cantlay, Matsuyama. I'm not sure I like two of those guys. I do love Victor Hovland. I think pound for pound, and don't give me Bryson because he's like 100 pounds more. But pound for pound, does anyone swing as hard as Victor Hovland?
No, he gets after it.
And he's a fairway finder, tee to green this season. You know, he's been kind of off the radar the last couple of weeks, if you can say that about him. But he's been impeccable. One of the better players out of the rough on tour. He might be a lock, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the merit for Hovland. My concern, again, is his short game has improved, but he still has leaks, right? Like when I compare him, obviously, with Morikawa, Morikawa just doesn't have the leaks, and he hits so many good iron shots that, like, Morikawa is going to make three or four birdies around because he will literally hit it to 2 feet. Hovland, right, he has to rely more on the putter because he's not hitting irons that close. But yes, he can absolutely win and contend here.
But does Morikawa have any putting yips from short distance?
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust him. I don't think he'll win, no. But if I had to pick one for a top 10 this week, I would probably favor Morikawa over Hovland.
Going into this week, from last week, stats in terms of form from Memphis. All 4 days, tee to green. Thomas, this is 1-5. Thomas, Chez continues to play well. Brooks, Ryan Palmer, more on that. Scheffler. How has Scheffler gone from being absolutely atrocious to what he did last week?
He's still atrocious. Yeah, look, he is super inconsistent, but he does have those rounds where his ball striking is just off the charts. Like, he'll gain 3 strokes with the irons and 2 strokes with the driver all in one day, and the rest of the week he'll just be incompetent. I'm definitely not ready to back
incompetent,
him.
You poor thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely not ready to back him in a major. A couple of those guys you mentioned are definitely interesting. You know, Chez for sure. I'm concerned this is too big of a ballpark for him. Ryan Palmer is definitely going to be interesting. I never get that guy right.
Never.
But he's been doing it with the irons. So, I mean, if the irons are that good, like, we know he hits it plenty far. He hits fairways. Yes. I definitely have concern about his short game, but you know, that stuff's not not super predictable.
But these greens are big enough. I mean, it's not like, you know, 5,000 square foot greens, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of water. There's no water, and there's really not a lot of heavy bunkering.
Yeah.
This is just a brute course. And Palmer, even though he's, you know, in his early 40s, hits it a fucking mile.
Sure.
Approach last week, 4 days. Koepka, Thomas, Chez. I have him down here as Chex. Maybe that's his name from now on. Chex Reavy. Joel Damon, Tom Lewis, your guy. And unfortunately for Tom Lewis last week, that par five approach when he was charging, with that runoff that killed Brooks too, he was 3 feet from eagle and it just got away from him.
Yeah, that would have given him the outright lead at minus 13, which ended up being the winning number. So
screw that hole and screw that pin position. Because it destroyed Brooks' chances.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Brooks, though, I mean, he left the second shot way too far left. I think that was not intentional. But, yeah, he had a really good shot there. Just a bad break.
That 3-wood on 18.
Not a good shot there. No.
Sunday. Tee to green. Palmer, your guy. My guy. Thomas, EVR. There's another one. Berger, answer. Approach, Palmer. Unbelievable. Lowry. EVR, Jason Day, Hideki. That's all I need to see is Hideki have one stat coming into this week for me to play him 100%.
He is interesting. I will say that. He kind of got off to a slow start again last week, but I think he was either third or fourth ball striking for the weekend. He was gaining both approach and off the tee a lot on Saturday and a lot on Sunday. Could definitely see this as the type of course he shows up at.
All right, let's go through DraftKings pricing.
All right.
Based on the model, as we know, your price, it all comes down to price action. And some people you can rule out based on their ceilings and whether or not that price can hit it. And the 11s, and you thought, and you were one of the smartest people I know, you thought that Brooks was going to be less than 95. I could not believe that came out of your mouth. Maybe you were just euphoric from your win.
No, I mean, I forgot that the books would weigh him just on his major pedigree. Because, look, I mean, you look at where he's been the last few weeks. He didn't win, right? But then the books had him at 12-1. So, yeah, that's where he's going to be.
At the event, he was like two events ago, he was 9,300.
Yeah, last week he was 9,200.
92 was last week, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like now he goes from 92 to 11-3, all because he's won a few majors. I mean, sure, it's important, but like, yes, Brooks was very popular for 9,200 because he was 9,200. Now you have to make a choice.
You're really selling yourself into JT for this team. That's okay. That's okay.
We love JT.
So the two 11s are JT and Brooks. One of them has, if you're going to play it, likely one of them has to win.
Yeah.
Rory, Rahm, DeChambeau, Schauffele in that first or second category too. I can make a case to probably fade all four.
Yeah, I would say, you know, look, people always play Rory.
It's very hard not to.
He's Rory, right? You feel like you have the safety of having Rory. You have the upside. I have no qualms with him this week at all. He has won here, albeit in a match play event. But he just, he just hasn't looked sharp. And for a guy who you need to win, you know, I think there are better choices. Rahm is the very interesting one. I think for the last month, I said, you know, that this was probably his best chance at a major ever. And he was very inconsistent, had one good round and then one Memorial. Last week was the same. He was pretty bad, then had one good round. So hopefully he's ready. But I would take Rahm over Rory probably. Way out on Bryson with you on that one.
Way out. Yeah. In the nines, I mean, I said the Riviera comp, and of course there's Tiger sitting there, but I think even he admits that it's tough for him to get around for 4 days anymore.
Sure.
And this is a long course. DJ sitting right there at 9,000. Auto lock for me.
I think he's going to be an auto lock for everybody. It's just a bad price. I mean, there's not much else to say about it. He He wasn't great last week, but pretty sure he gained in all four categories for the week. And he showed signs. So, just a bad price.
From 8-6 down to 8-2, you got Morikawa, Hovland, Day, Fowler, Matsuyama. That group of guys is extremely attractive in terms of their price. But, I mean, still, it still results in a top five, top 10-ish, more top five for that price range. But one of them is probably going to do it. Jason Day will be extremely popular. I cannot stop hearing about him on Twitter.
Twitter, yes.
Twitter.
Yeah, I think so. And he's been doing it with the ball striking, which has been surprising. He putted better last week overall, but I mean, the irons are still good. And when he went into that slump for the last, I guess, almost a year and a half now, his irons left him.
Were terrible.
Yeah, but he seems to have found it a little bit. So very interesting here.
I worry about it because you see him laboring to bend over and put a tee in the ground.
It could be an act at this point, you know.
Really?
I mean, he's not the healthiest of people, but, you know, he definitely milks things a little bit. Anytime he makes a bogey, he starts walking a little bit more slowly.
Didn't we talk about that last year? How there's like the sympathetic injury performance that some people can put on?
Yeah.
Like, remember he fell down at the –
at the Open.
Had to lay on the ground at the Masters.
Yeah, you know, it takes the pressure off of yourself a little bit. who knows? But he's always a risk. You own that when you roster him. So
The sevens, of course, are always interesting. The high range, Finau, Woodland, Fleetwood, three names. Very popular. Fleetwood, I think because he stood out here a few years ago in match play.
Yep.
Plus, peak Fleetwood, PGA Championship major Fleetwood, he comes to play. And you know he can find fairways. But I would say that he started to find a little form on the weekend, a little better. He's going to be interesting. What are your thoughts on Tom?
Yeah, I agree. You know, he wasn't great. On Sunday, he was great. And I don't even think those numbers do him justice. You know, I had him for showdown round four. So I watched every shot, hitting pretty much every fairway and every green, and was hitting everything inside 20 feet. Probably he could have been 8 under. I'm glad he's not, because then he would have been probably 35% owned at this price. But again, it's just a bad price. He should have been 82 or 8,300 where he normally is for these events. I think he will be very popular. The only thing that's going to pull some ownership away from him is if people go to Adam Scott, who's at 7,800.
He hasn't played since March.
He hasn't played in 5 months, but when he did play, he won in Australia and then he came and he won Riviera. There are people, very smart
the
people,
comp, right?
Yeah. They're very smart people on this podcast who use Riviera as a comp. So yeah, people are going to play Adam Scott. And then of course, Woodland and Finau, everybody plays them always. So, there's a reason why they're the slappies.
I am a Woodland. At least I'm not a Casey slappy, but I'm a Woodland slappy.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's bad. I just think, look, in all these majors, it's always the mid sevens or the low sevens where you find those one or two guys who top 10. And I think this week everyone's going to go to Fleetwood and Scott.
Length agnostic, Chez, low seventh, Bubba Watson, Riviera narrative, and tee to green, he's been playing well.
Yeah.
I think approach, he was very good last week, Bubba Watson. I like Bubba a lot. Pause.
I mean, I've played a lot of Bubba. I played a lot of Bubba last week. I have to own that. But he was very good Sunday, albeit with an extremely hot putter. So I don't know exactly how much you want to put into that. Honestly, irons were bad last week. And I think that's one thing with Bubba where he can putt badly anytime. So if the rest of the game is not like great, you know, he could be plus eight very quickly this week. I'm going to stay away. I think I've milked that cow for all I can get, and I'm going to sell high on Bubba.
I think that the sixes are probably the best. There's no really surprising pricing this week. I mean, I think it's pretty much what we thought.
It's tighter than normal. Yeah. I mean, there's not any horrible values where like there are some majors where like Oosthuizen will be like mid sixes and you're like, okay.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
Well, I've got one. I got two. And you guys mocked me for it. That's fine. I can take it.
Go ahead.
You talk about a major winner. You talk about Riviera comps. And you can talk about a guy who's playing a lot better. It's Charles Schwartzel, 6,900. A tee to green guy.
Yeah. You can do worse.
Brendan Steele, California. Hello, off the tee. Hello, tee to green. The guy hits everything to 6 feet, it seems.
But then he three putts.
Yeah,
he wasn't particularly good last week at the Barracuda. Not that it matters, but you know, for him to not even be in the top 40 in that event, it's a pretty bad sign. That's like a miscut anywhere else. So, but yeah, Steele
40 to Barracuda is a top 25 at a major.
Yeah, Steele loves playing out here. He drives it as well as anybody. And the irons have been good. It's just again, he's basically losing three shots around putting, and he's not a good bent putter, and you're just going to tilt your face off this weekend.
Dylan Fratelli, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see it. There's not many better
balls. There's another South African that I think I like more, but yeah.
Well, who do you like in the sixes there, mate?
Well,
Jorge Campayo, I'm shutting this off.
No, I was saying I like EVR more, but he's a couple hundred more. Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's not a lot. There are some decisions, you know, like what do you do with Schwab? Schwab, who has been really good, almost won last. We probably should have won.
You don't play him. That's what you do with Schwab.
Yeah, probably not. Lewis got priced up a little bit. I think, you know, we talked about this earlier, but if the conditions are right, there's some merit for Jim Furyk here, no?
Hmm. A lot of people are saying Jim Furyk, and what did he – he did something.
He won last week, yeah.
Well, yeah.
A win is a win.
Win is a win.
He won a major here in San Francisco, albeit across the street.
Yeah.
But if it's a golf course playing as big as we think it's going to play, there's no way I'm playing Jim Furyk.
No, but what is Jim? Jim Furyk has history here, though, doesn't he?
He did well in the match play, I think, back in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got to be on some sort of level having come off a win. Is it Fluff Cowan? Is he not a genetic marvel at 72 years old, lugging that bag around for 40 years?
Yeah, I will say he did
1948.
He did not look so good in the pictures last week, but yes, he's still going. It's awesome.
He smokes while he's carrying the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, Furyk is an option for sure, but if it's cool,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, if things are not firm, probably not an option. I mean, you mentioned Brendan Steele, who probably not the worst choice, but there's a
Mark Hubbard
for a couple hundred dollars less. You get Brendan Steele in Keegan Bradley. They're the same player. They are the identical player. And Bradley, of course, has won a major, has won a PGA. He can get hot very quickly, albeit normally on a Thursday, but like I could see Keegan in the top 30 or 25, and for 6,700, like that's okay because he'll make some birdies.
Can you see Mark Hubbard at 6,200 in the top 30, top 40?
No, but who I can see who's been really good this year has been Lucas
Martin Jurtsen. Who?
No, Glover. He again, probably the same mold as a Steele, as a Keegan, but has actually been consistently good. The fact that he missed his last cut has now dropped him to 6,700 when he would have been probably mid-sevens.
That's the one price that did surprise me was Lucas Glover at 6,700. I thought that one was pretty
bombs
reasonable.
He's one of the best drivers out there. And again, the same thing with Glover. You need him to hit 92% of the greens because he can't chip and putt.
That's right.
But I think he's a birdie maker. He was leading the tour in birdies since the restart until whatever he did up in Minnesota where he forgot how to play golf. But I think Glover's in play.
I think that I have a new acronym now. I have a new content feature this week. It's called Sneaky sneaky top overlooked plays. Stop. Sneaky top overlooked plays. That's the acronym. And so Steel was one of my first sneaky top overlooked plays. Of course, the acronym is STOP, right? Which makes it funny. Charl. And I think I would probably throw Glover in there, Ryan.
Yeah.
Who are your stops this week?
Does the price range matter or not really?
Well, overlooked plays, so someone who's going to be underplayed.
Got it.
Let's say what? Under 7%? Under 5%?
Got it. Okay. I would say Matsuyama for sure.
You think he's going to be low owned?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
I think Ty Hatton.
Because of Day?
I think it's because of everybody, and it's because of how people want to build. You know, people want to build with two or three guys over 9K.
Yeah.
And so I think Matsuyama for sure, probably under 8%. I'm not sure, but I think Hatton is going to go overlooked again.
I will too, because he was a play last week.
And he was horrible.
Horrible.
But who cares, right? It is 1 week, and now he's, you know,
he's $1,500
cheaper. No, yes. $1,800 cheaper. And he's right there with Woodland, Finau, you know, who everyone wants to play. So, yeah, those two will go overlooked for sure. I think Ustaisen will go overlooked for sure because he's priced up more than we're expecting him normally. I think those are the main three that stood out. If we're looking kind of low, I don't think there's anybody down here who's priced badly enough that they're going to be popular. I think everybody from the low sevens down is going to be 5 or 6% owned. I don't think there's anyone who jumps out. Because there's no bad pricing.
No, there's not. No, I think, yeah.
There's going to be a podcast or two, or there's going to be somebody, Mayo and Feinberg, hop on that everybody starts to play. I don't know who that's going to be. I haven't listened to anything yet, but but there's always one or two guys who people are kind of drawn to. I just don't see it. I can't find anybody down here.
Reed will go overlooked, I bet.
Yeah, that whole range for sure.
Who is your busto? Who's your chalky busto?
Chalky busto. That's a good question. I would say Bryson, but I don't think he's going to be that popular.
I don't think he's going to be popular.
I would say if I had to pick a guy at the top who I think is going to be owned that is not great, I think Webb is going to disappoint this week. And that sucks because I play Webb every single week. I love playing Webb. He just doesn't rate out well for me here.
Tesori's not in the bag, is he?
Maybe he'll be back. Who knows?
That's a big deal, by the way. I mean,
for sure. Him. Yeah. But yeah, Webb would probably be the one guy who I just don't have a lot of interest in this week.
You know who mine is?
It's Tiger.
Jason Day.
I could
Tiger won't be high owned.
Yeah. I know that my builds are going to leave me a spot for Jason Day, and I don't think I can do it, but we'll see.
You got Jason Day, Fowler, and Hideki. That's the thing.
Well, and we don't play Fowler ever, so he's out. I mean, what a gutless performance. I'm sorry, but he didn't even hit a good shot. He was playing with Brooks, right? And got dropped from coverage.
Yes.
Yeah. He got dropped like by the 11th hole, I think. He was off the coverage. So
he just, it's like Finau. It's just like you don't take your time to just think about what could go wrong here, and it goes wrong. It's just one or two really bad decisions that put you in reverse. Like Ricky, he plays how we want to see someone play. You just get up. No time. And when he runs as hot as anyone on tour.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, why did you make that mistake there?
Yeah, I don't know what hole it was, but I mean, whatever it was, the back nine where he was in the left rough, like on a downslope, trying to hit over the water, and he basically shanked it 30 yards into the water. I'm like, what is this guy doing? The ball barely got off the ground. Yes. Yeah, just bad decisions. He's definitely pressing. I mean, you could see it. He really shouldn't have even contended last week. He gained like 8 strokes short game the first, 3 days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Multiple chip-ins, long putts. So, yeah, I have no interest in Fowler here.
Who's winning?
Do you have to ask me that?
Justin Thomas?
Justin Lewis Thomas.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, he luck-boxed his way and cheated. No, he did not cheat. You do not want to say that on air. I was just kidding. That did not happen. I was joking.
He did get a very lucky
break. He was extremely lucky. Yes.
Yeah. No, he's just, look, he is.
He's amazing.
He's the best all-around player right now, for sure.
Yes. He is my number. In terms of world rankings, it's Justin Thomas number one. For me, there's no doubt. Thomas, he's the 5. Thomas, Koepka, Rory, I know. Who am I missing?
Rom.
Maybe. DJ. It'll always be DJ.
Yeah, it's good to have him playing well again. He just he's still lacking that extra gear. Like when DJ was DJ, he just made so many birdies, and he's just not doing that right now. Like he had more -6, -7, -8 rounds than anybody.
This week's different, man.
I agree.
Who wins the English Open?
Yeah, that's a fun one. So I was thinking back to when we started this podcast and Spieth won, and we were on that for the Open. And do you know who won the next week that we bet? Jordan Smith. I bet Jordan Smith this week. I think this was his week. At the top, you have the same guys who are close every week, but like now Dietrich is 11-1. Rasmus is like 14-1. Like you can't bet that. So
no.
I bet Smith at 50. I bet Rosner at 90. And I bet a couple of bombs. I know I bet Max Kiefer and Lori Cantor. I don't know much about this golf course. It does seem like it is, again, the Parklands course where kind of you can bomb it. It's not link style at all. And it's just a weak field. I mean, it's
short, very short.
Yeah, it's just a weak field. I think it's going to be a lot of the same guys. Like Andy Sullivan is there. Gavin Green is there. So like, I think they're all going to play well, but we are channeling vibes over to Jordan Smith this week.
Højgaard is unbelievable.
He's great. He's like a mini Peters to an extent. He gets very hot. Ball striking is off the charts and he putts like Thomas Peters.
What about that missed putt by your guy, Dietrich?
That was bad. I had the JT Dietrich double too. So it ended up being very bad. No, and I think it was especially strange because he was like number one or two strokes gained putting that week. Now, again, I don't know how accurate the data is, but he was putting lights out and to three putt and missed that 3-footer. It was brutal.
I think you got to stay on Højgaard. I'm not sure the price is right, but perhaps you double it with Brooks. The winner, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
Brooks is going to avenge this, and he's going to avenge it hard.
Look.
He'll get that draw figured out.
I mean, there's
unbelievable.
Look, there's
approach. Had he gained like one more stroke putting, he would have won by 5 shots.
There's no argument against Brooks this week except for price. He was very popular for 9,200 for good reason. Right. Now, because of the majors, he's 11-1. Like, is that price jump accurate?
He's my stop play, Ryan. He's my sneaky.
For 21% owned, he's your stop play?
No. If you think he's going to be too pricey.
I think he will be.
He'll be 20. He'll be 17 to 21% owned, yes.
Yeah, for sure. I think Rory and Rom will be lower. I think Bryson will be even lower. Xander going to be fucking through the roof again.
You know, the one guy we did not mention? Spieth.
Yeah.
Major Spieth.
I get
kind of maybe colonial. As Greg Les said, kind of colonial-ish.
He can sneak in that top 25 for sure, but I just don't know. Yeah, I just don't see the upside with him. Look, we talk about this golf course and what you need. You have to drive it far and have good irons. It's exactly what Spieth does not do. I don't know. It seems pretty simple to me.
All right, man.
Best
good
of luck
in that
this week.
Million, man.
Yes, thank you. We're going to go tweak this lineup 150 times because you and Saul keep yelling at me. But
Yes.
We will hold.
We're trying to scare you off your picks.
Don't scare me off, JT.
All right, man.
See ya.
All right, finally. By the way, thank you to Chris Durrell, Jaeger underscore bombs, insert a digit on Twitter. He provides me some data every week, gratis, and I really appreciate it. Very nice guy. Great work. A lot of work. Also, Green Square Golf, my company with Mike Miller. It is great. This week, for everyone who has subscribed but not yet bought a plan, I suggest you do that because we have something for you. You'll get an email likely tomorrow. So make sure and subscribe. Before you buy a plan, just wait for an email. We got something special for the majors. Greensquare.golf, at GreensquareGolf on Twitter. Those of you who knew Mike Miller and know Mike Miller, Smart Golf Bets, it's form, course history, deep looks at performance across all tours, all players, every week. It's indispensable for handicapping, in my opinion, and in others. So Green Square Golf, greensquare.golf. This week, it's Brooks, baby. He's not going to let JT do it twice to him. He's going to figure out that three wood. He's going to figure out that draw. He is stone cold. He is ice water in his veins. That's a fact. He can handle this pressure for a major. Just like Tony Finau. Bam. All right. Have a good week. Talk to you at 157.
Someone say